How's it going, capitalists, Americans, patriots, white hats, misfits from sea to shining sea? I'm Nate Houseman, your guide to the 21st century. And did something happen today? Did the rightful President Trump announce that he's the target of a January 6th investigation? Like the DC Democrat flags had nothing better to do. So we're going to go through a bunch of stories here, and we're going to start with this one from the Gateway Pundit. President Trump announces he is target of garbage January 6th investigation. Given 4 days to testify before grand jury, braces for imminent indictment by Biden regime and Jack Smith. Jack Smith, who has been kicked out of court by the Supreme Court, lots of other judges. He's a dirty MFR. He's a dirty MFR. Why do they pick him, of all people, to lead this investigation? Because he's a piece of shit. President Trump braces for imminent indictment by Biden Department of Justice. And that is, you know, of course they're freaking scared of him because he dominated the Turning Point USA poll this last weekend. In case you missed it, the Biden Department of Justice announced this week they want to add even more years to the onto the sentences of several top January 6th defendants, including the leaders of the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers. The DOJ wants Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes kept incarcerated until he is 75 years old for standing outside the U.S. Capitol on January 6th and telling his members to leave their weapons in their hotel rooms. The Biden regime claims they were plotting an insurrection without weapons and with only a handful of their members entering the Capitol to assist police. And some people are saying that a lot of those members weren't really Oath Keepers. They were FBI plants. So the Biden regime is out to destroy Trump and the people's movement to save America from tyranny. Yeah, I mean, now that we have alternative media like Rumble, Odyssey, and Kick, we can openly discuss the election theft of 2020. And this is how abusers, narcissists, psychopaths, sociopaths, what have you, this is what they love doing. They love getting under skin and just committing just outright blatant acts of abuse and evil and then getting mad at you for standing up for yourself. So, I don't know if I'll read the whole article. Oh, gotta read DC Drano. He's always good. President Trump announces he has received a letter from the DOJ signaling he will be arrested and indicted for January 6th. Yes, the same January 6th where National Guard troops were rejected by Democrats, were undercover. I'm just going to upload his tweet on the actual page here. Come on. Yes, the same breaking. President Trump announces he has received a letter from the DOJ signaling he will be arrested and indicted for January 6th. The same January 6th where National Guard troops were rejected by Democrats, were undercover FBI sources and DC police officers. Go away. Were in the crowds, while Pelosi secretly worked to lower security measures, and where police launched flashbangs and tear gas into peaceful crowds. The DOJ is now going to indict the president who fought against fraudulent elections while they protect the crackhead Ukrainian bribe family in the White House. The deep state is the greatest threat to the American people, and we are sadly reminded today why that is true. They must be abolished down to the root. And I'm going to read the statement by Donald Trump because, obviously, he's more credible than the resident and anyone doing his bidding. Wow, on Sunday night, while I was with my family, having just arrived from Turning Point event in Florida, where I won the straw poll against all the Republican candidates with 85.7%, with all polls showing me leading the Republican primary in very substantial numbers, almost everyone predicting that I will be the Republican nominee for president, and as I'm leading Democrat Joe Biden in the polls by a lot, horrifying news for our country has been given to me by my attorneys. And that's the whole reason they are doing this crap, because he's the obvious choice of the people. Duane Jack Smith, the prosecutor with Joe Biden's DOJ, sent a letter, again, it was Sunday night, stating that I am the target of the January 6th grand jury investigation and giving me a very short 4 days to report to the grand jury, which almost always means an arrest and indictment. So now, Joe Biden's Attorney General, Merrick Garland, who I turned down for the United States Supreme Court, in retrospect, based on his corrupt and unethical actions, a very wise decision, together with Joe Biden's Department of Injustice, have effectively issued a third indictment and arrest of Joe Biden's number one political opponent, who is largely dominating him in the race for the presidency. Nothing like this has ever happened in our country before, or even close. They illegally spied on my campaign, attacked me with totally fake dossier that was funded by Hillary Clinton's campaign in the DNC, impeached me twice, I won. They failed on the Mueller witch hunt, no collusion. They failed on Russia, on the Russia hoax, the 51 intelligence agents fraud, the FBI Twitter files, the DOJ Facebook censorship, and every other scam imaginable. But on top of that, they have now effectively indicted me three times. The DOJ staffed and runs the DA's office in Manhattan, with a probable fourth coming from Atlanta, where the DOJ are in a strict and possibly illegal coordination with the district attorney, whose record on murder and other violent crime is abysmal. This witch hunt is all about election interference and a complete and total weaponization of law enforcement. It is a very sad and dark period for our nation. You know what else this means? The Democrats can't cheat anymore. Like, we're figuring them out. You know, everyone knows that the Democrats steal elections now. I mean, 2020 opened up the conversation. 2022 proved it. So now the American people are on the alert. And we are shutting all the avenues where they can steal elections other than indictment of their political opponents, or even, they might even try to start a war. Either civil war here within, or war with Russia and China. So this just proves how totally panicked the Democrats are, and by extension, the deep state and the NWO, the cabal, the central bankers, what have you. So we've got a lot to go through here. If you find this content valuable, please like, share, and subscribe. Whatever platform you're watching this on, either Rumble, Odyssey, or on Kick, or on the podcast. Go ahead and visit my website, natehousman.net, where I share a lot of other articles from around the web and meme the hell out of them. I've got resources. I've got a merch shop. One of those resources is a very easy way to invest in cryptocurrency and other assets, which is Uphold. This is what I love. This is like my introduction to actually investing in cryptocurrency other than Coinbase, which I kind of dropped like a bad habit. Uphold is super easy to use. You can buy and sell all sorts of like mainstream cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Ether, Cardano, I think even XRP now that they've been cleared in court. And it's a very easy to use interface. And you can also invest in things like foreign currencies, gold and silver, stocks. It's very easy and beginner friendly. You can even invest in stable coins like Tether and USDC, which is like a cryptocurrency that's like backed by supposed to equal the amount of the US dollar, which is useful in like other exchanges, which I'll mention a little bit later. But go ahead and create an account and Uphold if you're new to crypto, and protect your wealth against the economic storm that's coming. So let's get started here. This whole thing is really about election interference, because the deep state, the Democrats, the rhinos, they've got nothing left. Biden DOJ seeks December trial date and classified documents case on the eve of the Iowa Republican caucuses. This article is dated July 15th, which is like 3 days ago. So Biden's corrupt Justice Department is seeking a December 11th trial date in Jack Smith's classified documents case. So, yeah, it's interesting that the Republicans are still going to have their caucus in Iowa, but I think the Democrats have canceled it, because Iowa, my home state, full of lots of level-headed, intelligent people, we implemented voter ID. Therefore, we are now completely moving more and more Republican. We are canceling out the Democrat theft here. So the Democrats don't see any point in having their caucus in Iowa. So the fact that all of the all the DC Beltway is like, plus the media, plus Hollywood, plus the banks, they are so against Donald Trump is because he is over the target. He is saying, he is speaking truth. He's like, he's spinning out so many facts that really get to get under the skin. Like, when he first started running for president in, like, 2015, I didn't like him at first. I didn't think he was a genuine conservative. But the fact that the media was so against him, I thought, he must be doing something right. And what he really won me over in July of 2016 when he called out the media to their faces, like, no other policy matters unless we can disable the mainstream media's, you know, control over the discussion. We have to neutralize the media and build up the grassroots alternative media, the podcasts, the bloggers, the YouTubers, the Rumblers, the Odyssey, you know, users. Make the people the real media. And that's what got me on the Trump train. Nothing else matters until we can have open, honest discussions, which we can. And for that, we'd have to dismantle the corporate media. Even the corporate media that, you know, pretends to be conservative, like Fox News. Although this does seem like a very, interesting topic here. Trump's classified docs team could file this game over motion, according to Leo Terrell. Go away, Banner. I think I'm going to read this whole article. Civil rights attorney Leo Terrell said on Life, Liberty, and Levin that rightful President Donald Trump's counsel in the Mar-a-Lago raid case could file a single motion that could be game over for Special Counsel Jack Smith and the prosecution. Terrell was asked his thoughts on the Presidential Record Act in response to former President Richard Nixon's behavior upon his resignation. The act governs how presidents, beginning with Ronald Reagan, must handle their official records and documentation, and a 2014 revision spearheaded by then-Representative Elijah Cummings made digital age and transparency-related tweaks to it. The PRA places the responsibility for custody and management of incumbent presidential records with the president, according to the National Archives. The host, Mark Levin, said Trump's team may consider citing Democrat-appointed jurists like Judge Amy Berman Jackson, who ruled against Transparency Watchdog Judicial Watch in a 2010 case, seeking sets former President Bill Clinton stored in his sock drawer. Those tapes included considerations on whether to fire former CIA Director James Woolsey, reasoning behind foreign policy decisions surrounding U.S. involvement in Haiti, and a conversation with then-Representative William Nasher of Kentucky about why Clinton chose to enter America into NAFTA. The Clinton socks case, which is the precedent for why, explaining why what Trump did is just fine. Game over, Terrell replied. That is, to me, the most important first motion President Trump's legal team could file. The PRA exonerates Trump, Terrell said, adding that such a filing could lead the prosecution without a viable response. President Trump has the absolute right to declassify any and all documents in his custody, control, and possession. There has been no response to that by the prosecution. I'll tell you why. Because they don't have one. Terrell said the Fed's supposed blind spot for the PRA is a result of its alleged mission to quash Trump's presidential aspirations. The leading Republican candidate, in my opinion, the next president of this country, is trying to be derailed by the prosecution, by Joe Biden, by Merrick Garland, by Christopher Wray, and by the Democrat machine, and the left-wing media. Terrell said the press and Democrats cannot beat Trump at the polls, so they have to use the legal system as proxy. Exactly. Invoking the PRA, Terrell claimed, should lead to outright dismissal of these frivolous charges against Donald J. Trump. In addition to Trump, former Vice President Mike Pence and resident Biden, I'll never call Biden the president, have been subject to scrutiny involving classified documents found in their possession or domiciles. In Pence's case, he fully cooperated and went uncharged. In Biden's case, former Baltimore federal prosecutor Rob Hur was tapped as special counsel, but has made scant public comment to date on this case. Documents with a timeline stretching back to Biden's time in the Senate have been found at several locations, including the University of Pennsylvania Links building in the District of Columbia, and in a garage used to store the president's Corvette in his Greenville, Delaware estate. So, What we're seeing is the two tier justices, the double standard by which, you know, Democrats get to skate for whatever, you know, crimes they commit, while Trump has to do everything by the letter. So, you know, this is rightfully pissing the people off, but it's also educating them, showing them, hey, court system is corrupt. We got to stay calm. We got to realize that they're the ones who are really panicking because we see them now. And once we fully understand how they operate, then the people will be the ones to put an end to all this and bring justice to the country. Now, we're going to talk about why President Trump really ticked them off over the past couple days here. Rival President, this is from Just the News. Trump pledges to obliterate the deep state and create Truth and Reconciliation Commission. President Donald Trump pledged to end corruption in Washington, D.C. by obliterating the deep state and creating a Truth and Reconciliation Commission that would declassify all information about government spying, censorship, and corruption. When I get back into the Oval Office, I will totally obliterate the deep state, Trump pledged Saturday at a Turning Point USA conference in Florida, taking aim at the alleged group of federal officials working against his agenda. We'll create a Truth and Reconciliation Commission to declassify and publish all documents on deep state spying, censorship, and all the corruption that's gone on in America. So, another little tidbit here from theleadingreport.com. Trump to declassify assassination docs on JFK, RFK, Malcolm X, and Martin Luther King Jr. in 2025. Rightful President Donald Trump vows to release all remaining classified records relating to the assassinations of President John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Malcolm X, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on January 20th, 2025. When I return to the White House, I will declassify and unseal all JFK assassination-related documents, Trump wrote on a social media platform, Truth Social. It's been 60 years. Time for the American people to know the truth. Notice how confident Trump is that he's going to win and that he's going to be back in the White House. In 2020, he was predicting that they were going to cheat. He was actually, you know, he was saying that he was going to win the most votes, but he didn't get the most ballots. He predicted very, you know, kind of like he implied that the Democrats in the deep state were going to steal 2020. I think he knew what was going on. He knows what's going on now. He knows they can't cheat again. President Joe Biden announced that the National Archives had finished its evaluation of still classified documents and had concluded that some should continue to be withheld from the public. So why is he doing that? Because, you know, Tucker Carlson was on Russell Brand's program, I think last week. Tucker said, you know, all the people involved in the JFK assassination are dead now. Why bother protecting? There's no need to protect those people. What they're really doing is protecting the organization, the CIA, the NSA, all the alphabet agencies. That's who Biden is protecting, or rather his handlers. On the afternoon of the 20th of January, 2025, he's going to declassify everything, announced Steve Bannon on his podcast. We're going to release all the assassination files on John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Bobby Kennedy. And I'm going to throw in two more for bonus, he continued. The assassination attempt on George Wallace, so we covered everybody. And under Bill Barr, we're going to take the file on Jeffrey Epstein and see who murdered him under Bill Barr. And every foreign intelligence apparatus that worked with him. It's all coming out. So what really grinds the deep state's gears about Trump is he wants to put an end to child trafficking. You're seeing the media's reaction to the Sound of Freedom. I did a kind of like a featured post on my blog a few days ago. Sound of Freedom really is ringing the alarm bells on human trafficking, child trafficking, crimes against children. Why does this bother the media so much? Why does it bother the left so much? Because it's like pedophilia is like currency to them. It's like how they, you know, make deals. It's how they conduct their blackmail pacts, whatever. Now that they think they're in control, they're trying to bring it out of the, they're trying to normalize and make it acceptable, which is going to go over like a plutonium lead balloon. So another reason we can be so confident that Trump's going to win in 2024 is this queen, Carrie Lake, files new election appeal to Arizona Supreme Court. Like, Arizona has been like the tip of the spear as far as like securing election integrity. It was so brazen and blatant the way Katie Hobbs stole the governor's race this past fall. And it's so brazen and blatant how the courts are, you know, are sticking up for Katie Hobbs. Like, they will not, you know, they will not overturn the election. They will not correct this injustice in spite of all of the evidence that Carrie Lake and her team have brought. You know, I want her to win these cases. But wouldn't it be cool if she could take this all the way up, if Carrie Lake could take this all the way up to the Supreme Court and win there? Couldn't, you know, by winning there, couldn't they, you know, secure election integrity over all 50 states? Wouldn't that be something? So I just think that's kind of, that might be in the cards here. Of course, if SCOTUS, you know, wimps out like all the other courts, you know, there's always the military. Then people will know that, hey, the court system, the federal government is completely taken over, so we need to clean house with the one government organization that's not corrupt, the military. So here's where we look at the double standards here. This is from Zero Hedge, this is from Summit News by way of Zero Hedge. Secret Service didn't even talk to Hunter Biden about the White House cocaine. So I haven't done much reporting on the whole cocaine gate in the White House. I mean, it's obvious it's Hunter's. The fact that they won't say whose it is means they're saying whose it is. Following the announcement that the Secret Service has shut down the investigation into the cocaine found inside the White House without finding a culprit, Senator Tom Cotton said Sunday they didn't even talk to Hunter Biden about the matter. So people are seeing this, and part of me wants to think that maybe Hunter is doing this deliberately, so because he's actually working with the White Hats, like he hates the abuse in his family, like he's sick of it, and he's trying to pull the he's trying to reveal the cockroaches, turn the light on the bathroom. So that's just a theory. But moving on. Excuse me. Gary Pundit is like itching for impeaching Joe Biden. I actually don't want them to impeach Joe Biden, because that's like saying that he's the real legitimate president. But House Oversight releases 14-year timeline of Biden's illegal influence peddling scheme. No more talk, start the impeachment, is what Gary Pundit is like itching for. There's some talk that, you know, the Biden is so compromised, like he's exposing so much dirty laundry for the Democrats that they might take him out with the 25th Amendment. So the American Thinker has a piece here, and I think I'm going to read this whole article. By Thomas Lifson. Yesterday's blog post, that would have been July 15th, on the need to start pressuring Biden's cabinet to invoke the 25th Amendment, drew a lot of readers and commenters with much concern expressed about what happens next. Because the 25th has never been invoked, there is some confusion about whether or not a new vice president would need to be appointed. As commenter Patricia Coons pointed out, under the terms of the amendment, Section 3, no official vacancy is created in the office of vice president. Whoever the president transmitted to the president pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives his written declaration that he is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, and until he transmits them in a written declaration to the contrary, such powers and duties shall be discharged by the vice president as acting president. This means that the vice president remains in office as VP and only becomes acting president. While all the duties and powers, Section 4, of the presidency devolve upon the acting president, there's no vacancy in the office of vice president, so there's no need or ability to appoint a new vice president. Under current circumstances, this means that if Kamala Harris were to die in office, there would be a vacancy in the vice presidency and no one able to nominate a replacement VP, as Section 2 of the 25th Amendment specifies. Whenever there is a vacancy in the office of the vice president, the president shall nominate a vice president who shall take office upon confirmation by a majority vote of both houses of Congress. Article 2, Section 1, Clause 6 of the Constitution specifies, in the case of the removal of the president from office, or of his death, resignation, or inability to discharge the powers and duties of said office, the same shall devolve on the vice president, and the Congress may, by law, provide for the case of removal, death, resignation, or inability, both of the president and vice president, declaring what officer shall then act as president, and such officer shall act accordingly until the disability be removed or a president shall be elected. The Presidential Succession Act of 1947, both the Speaker of the House and President pro tempore of the Senate, in line for succeeding the president if no vice president is in office. And for them, cabinet officers, in order of the age of their departments, are in line. But it does not speak to the office of acting president, as later created by the 25th. But it will provide ammunition for the GOP-led House to argue that Kevin McCarthy ought to assume the powers and duties of the acting president. However, there's no constitutional or statutory authority that the author knows of for such a move. The House could also impeach the president, the incapacitated Joe Biden, the resident, I'll correct you there, with only a majority vote. It would then be up to the Senate to either convict or acquit him, which would require a two-thirds vote for a guilty verdict. With a leadership crisis at top and obviously incapacitated Biden, how many senators would cast their ballots to keep nobody in charge of the executive branch by quitting an impeached Biden? It would cause a constitutional crisis like no other in history. With the office of vice president vacant by death and Biden impeached and removed from office, McCarthy would be in line for the presidency. But assuming Vice President Harris does not tragically die, how does an acting president remain in office, remain as a kind of super VP with all the powers and duties of the president without actually being sworn in a president? The answer is found in Section 4. When the president transmits to the president pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives his written declaration that no inability exists, he shall resume the powers and duties of his office until the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive department or of such other body as Congress may by law provide, transmit within 4 days to the president pro tempore of the Senate and Speaker of the House of Representatives their written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. Thereupon, Congress shall decide the issue, assembling within 48 hours for that purpose, if not in session. If the Congress, within 21 days after the receipt of the latter declaration, written declaration, or if Congress is not in session, within 21 days after Congress is required to assemble, determines by two-thirds vote of both houses that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, the vice president shall continue to discharge the same as acting president, otherwise the president shall resume the powers and duties of his office. Okay, should Biden or Dr. Jill or the puppet masters submit a written declaration that for the first time in history, dementia has been reversed, Kamala reverts to the powers and duties of the vice president, unless, that is, a majority of the cabinet and two-thirds majority of both houses of Congress disagree. In that case, the VP remains acting president and no vacancy exists in the office of vice president. Note that it is actually easier to impeach a president than it is to restore him or her to power after the 25th Amendment is invoked. A simple House majority suffices to impeach, while two-thirds are needed to restore a president sidelined by the 25th Amendment to power. This would seem to put the GOP House in a superior bargaining position in determining who shall exercise the powers of the presidency. That's the money shot, the very last paragraph. So, I'm going to end this section of the stream with a little prediction. The specter of Michelle Obama, Roger Stone lays out frightening scenario while speaking to Turning Point USA. This is another article by the Gateway Pundit. A specter is haunting the United States of America. specter of Michelle Obama. Roger Stone broke the idea on Sunday. As a veteran of many years in American politics, I'm going to tell you something somewhat shocking, Stone told a Full House at yesterday's Turning Point USA event in Florida. Joe Biden will not be the nominee of the Democratic Party in 2024. Stone said that while he expects Kamala Harris to serve a brief stint as president, her tenure wouldn't be long-lasting. The only way in their Democrat Party they can replace a woman with color is with another woman of color, the genius of political strategy further explained. You heard it here first, Stone prefaced while groans turned into a disgruntled roar from the Sunshine State crowd. The Democratic nominee for president will be Michelle Obama. Although some may find absurdity in the suggestion of another Obama presidency, it's not like Barack hasn't discussed the idea before, and Joe Biden's dumpster fire of administration makes even the most outlandish assessments seem realistic, like they rigged the 2020 election. What makes you think they won't rig the Democrat primaries? I mean, they did it to Bernie Sanders in 2016. I mean, the Democrat candidates in 2020, they all kind of like decided to fall on the swords and support Biden, probably because they were either bought off, bribed, or threatened, or offered counter positions. So really, the Democrats can make anyone they want. The Democrat higher-ups can make anyone they want the Democrat nominee. So there's talk about Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom and Michelle are probably the only two individuals with any like gravitas behind them. So memers, be prepared. This is the moment you've all been waiting. This is the moment you've been preparing for all your lives. Go nuts with the Michelle Obama has a penis memes. Seriously. Like, I don't care if Michelle or Mike really is a man. The fact that we are so openly, you know, deriding the Obamas now after so many years of downright creepy worship of them, it really does my heart good. I mean, these people deserve to be really mocked to high heaven. So, let's check on chats here. Nothing looks like on Rumble. Nothing on Odyssey. Do I have any on Kick? Let's see here. Kick is spinning its wheels. Doesn't look like it, but that's fine. And I'm going to leave these programs up on Odyssey and Rumble. And you can also catch the podcast later. So let's talk about another way you can support the program. That's another resource I have linked in the description, affiliate links. That would be NordVPN. Now, it's very important in this day and age to protect your internet privacy. You know, Stalin's chief of police, secret police years ago said, "You bring me the man and I'll find you the crime." If the deep state flacks want to, they can arrest you for anything. We're seeing that with Trump. He's just in the way. If they can get rid of him, they can go after anybody without you know, hesitation. So it's very important to protect your online privacy. I know you're all law-abiding citizens. I know you're not doing anything wrong. I know, I'm sure you're doing everything you can to be on the up and up and being very careful, but do so. Another benefit of a VPN is to access content from, other countries. If you turn on a VPN and set it to like maybe the UK or Japan or South Africa, you can content that would normally be exclusive to that country. So go ahead and take advantage of that. Looks like NordVPN is still going on with their sale here. Get 66% off NordVPN's 2-year plan. So go ahead and get on it. And we're going to move on here to the economic portion of our stream. The U.S. dollar's status as global reserve currency is on a slow long-term decline, but not going down in a straight line. This is from Wolf Street. I normally don't like reading Wolf Street's articles because they can be kind of wordy and full of jargon, but I think the first three paragraphs here are pretty good. The U.S. dollar as dominant global reserve currency has been on a slow long-term downward trend, interrupted by upticks. And now we have an uptick when the dollar gained its share. The share of the USD as global reserve currency rose to 59% in the first quarter of 2023, having dropped to 58.6% in quarter four, which had been the dollar's lowest share since 1994, according to the IMF's recent COFR data. I'm not sure what COFR stands for. But moving on. The US dollar as global reserve currency means that foreign central banks and foreign official institutions hold US dollar denominated assets, such as treasury securities, agency securities, corporate bonds, mortgage-backed securities, etc. They also hold competing foreign exchange reserves in other currencies, such as in euros, number two, and in the yen, number three. The holdings in their own local currency are not foreign exchange reserves and are not included, so the Fed's holding of U.S. Treasuries and MBS are not included. The ECB's euro-dominated assets are not included, etc. So, in other words, you know, the U.S. dollar is the world's reserve currency. Like, for international settlements, you know, for really since 1944-45, international trade has been done in dollars. And since the 1970s, the purchase of oil has been, international purchase of oil has been done in dollars. Why is that? Well, towards the end of World War II, most of the gold in the world was, you know, the country with the most gold happened to be the United States. So there was a meeting at Bretton Woods in New Jersey in the U.S. where a bunch of world leaders came together and said, hey, we're going to make the dollar the U.S., you know, the world's reserve currency. For thousands of years, the reserve currency was actually gold. You know, people used gold as money because it's a natural resource. It doesn't rust. It's politically, you know, ambivalent, neutral. It's like, you know, it comes from the earth. You know, the only way to increase the gold supply is to get out of existing, you know, veins or mines or whatever. So you know, different world currencies were just different measurements of gold. So that's what, you know, we used to use as a reserve currency. Ever since, you know, the Bretton Woods, we decided to use the dollar, which was just, you know, a dollar bill was just a rain check saying that you had gold in America's treasury in Fort Knox. After 1971, when the dollar came off the gold standard, those pieces of paper were the reserve currency. And now they're saying that, oh, it's not going to be that anymore, according to the next few articles here. This is from the news section of Bitcoin.com. Robert Kiyosaki warns U.S. dollar will die, citing the BRICS nation's plan to launch a gold-backed currency. You know, Robert Kiyosaki, the famous author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I follow him on Twitter. I don't think he's like the best, you know, author, but, you know, I think his general information is pretty good. Rich Dad, Poor Dad author Robert Kiyosaki has warned that the U.S. dollar will die. He expects the BRICS nations, which are Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, to launch a gold-backed currency that will kill the U.S. dollar. Famous author further stressed that U.S. dollars will come flooding home and inflation will go through the roof. Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad Poor Dad, has weighed in on the proposed BRICS currency and its potential impact on the U.S. dollar. All right. Then talks about his famous book, Rich Dad Poor Dad. The BRICS nations composed of Brazil. Okay, I've said that already. And the anticipation surrounding the new BRICS currency has surged after a report by Russian news outlet RT suggesting that the BRICS economic bloc is preparing to introduce a gold-backed currency, with the official announcement expected to be made during the leaders' summit scheduled for August 22nd through the 24th. However, no BRICS officials have made an announcement regarding the new currency, and there is no confirmation that it will be backed by gold. In a Tuesday tweet, Kiyosaki predicted that the U.S. dollar will die and trillions of USD will rush home, as he expects the BRICS nations to announce a gold-backed currency during their summit in August. The famous author added that inflation will go through the roof, emphasizing that investors buy gold, silver, and Bitcoin, his usual recommendation. And here's a tweet saying the same thing. Now, it's not going to happen right away. it's going to take time for them to establish this gold-backed currency, and it's going to take time for, you know, it to for the dollar to be replaced as, you know, the world's reserve currency. So that gives the U.S. time to audit the Federal Reserve, look into like all their shady activity, look into the banks, look into make sure that we still have gold in Fort Knox, because that's a little, that's not so certain, and make sure that, you know, we can launch our own gold-backed currency. Either peg the dollar back to gold, is some gold that we have in the national treasury, or even connect to Bitcoin. Now, the International Monetary Fund hints at allowing countries to use the Chinese yuan for debt repayment. So the International Monetary Fund has hinted that that it may accept Chinese yuan as a currency for countries to settle their obligations, with the IMF following Argentina's recent debt repayment in yuan. So individual countries are repaying their debts to China in yuan. So International Monetary Fund is considering this. So China is controlled by the Communist Party, the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, which makes this a really dangerous scenario. However, certain, you know, members of Congress, like Senator Chuck Grassley, and have been saying that, have been referring to like the People's Republic of China, and making it important, being very careful to distinguish the People's Republic of China from the CCP. Now, just as there are white hats and patriots trying to end corruption in the United States, I also think there are white hats and patriots trying to end corruption in China and bring about true freedom there. So I've heard conflicting ideas about Xi Jinping. Like, is he a bad guy, or is he secretly helping the patriots? I don't know. I don't think we're supposed to know until the right time. So I'm just saying, proceed with caution when it comes to BRICS and any plans of theirs to supplant the U.S. dollar. Here's another focus of concern. Brazil's CBDC pilot contains code that can freeze or reduce funds developer claims. So the as we know, as you might have heard, the election for Brazil's president was rigged earlier this year. Jair Bolsonaro was ousted by the criminal Lula da Silva. Same thing that happened here in the U.S. happened in Brazil. So right now, we're praying for the people of Brazil. We're praying that they can uproot corruption there. But since they're also part of BRICS, we got to approach them with caution. They're also trying to implement a central bank digital currency, which, according to this cryptocurrency developer, is programmable. Let's read the first few paragraphs here. A blockchain developer who claims to have reverse-engineered the source code of Brazil's pilot central bank digital currency has discovered functions in the code that could allow a central authority to freeze funds or reduce balances. He has since argued, however, that there might be situations that such functions could be beneficial. He has to say that, or else he could get locked up. On July 6th, the source code of the Digital Brazilian Real project, pilot project, was posted on GitHub portal by Brazil's central bank. It was explained at the time that the pilot project is intended for use only in a test environment and that the presented architecture may be subject to additional changes. Pedro Magalhães, I'm probably butchering that, a blockchain developer and founder of tech consulting firm Ura Labs, later that day claimed to have been able to reverse engineer the open source code of Banco Central do Brasil's digital real, revealing functions in the code. The functions include freezing and unfreezing accounts, increasing and decreasing balances, and moving currency from one address to another, and creating or burning digital real from a specific address. Real is what Brazil calls their national currency. So I kind of wonder if the BRICS gold-backed currency is going to be used only for international trade and they're in the countries inside their own borders are going to use their own CBDCs, while the Chinese yuan does things also. The United Kingdom is talking about creating a digital pound, its own CBDC, and it's meeting with public backlash. British society is both civil and democratic, so it wasn't unexpected that the government of the United Kingdom would consult the public before signing off on a digital version of the British pound. The response it received may have been surprising, though. The public canvassing, conducted jointly by His Majesty's Treasury and the Bank of England between February and June of 2023, drew some 50,000 responses and unleashed a public backlash, according to The Telegraph, the UK newspaper, with widespread public concern about privacy as well as anger over the possible consequences for cash. Not only could a digital pound, dubbed Britcoin, be used to surveil UK citizens, respondents feared, but it could also potentially destabilize the UK financial system because the digital pound would be easier for depositors to move out of commercial banks in time of a crisis, promoting bank runs. The latest pushback comes as many in the crypto sector continue to view central bank digital currencies with suspicion, whereas clumsy government attempts to snuff out private money, according to decentralized cryptocurrencies. So, it's very important that we make a distinction between a central bank digital currency and a true cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, like Ether. The benefit of true cryptocurrencies is that they run on the blockchain and they are decentralized. No single person or organization controls how they run. Bitcoin is the OG cryptocurrency, and Ether is like number two. And I think XRP is like inching up there. But I'm a little worried about XRP because it is centrally controlled. But in any case, it's very important to get on to cryptocurrency, as stated by the CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink. Now, BlackRock is an evil corporation if there ever was one, and BlackRock is a suit, and Larry Fink is a suit if there ever was one, but he knows what's going on, and he's been trying to get a BlackRock a Bitcoin ETF approved by the SEC. They blocked the last one. They blocked the most recent, you know, attempt by BlackRock, but they kind of send it back with some recommendations saying that, hey, we can do this a little down the road here. But this is significant. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink has delivered fresh remarks supporting cryptocurrency's role in democratizing investing worldwide, pointing to growing interest among the company's clients in digital assets. More and more of our global investors are asking us about crypto, Fink said, during an interview with CNBC Squawk on the Street on July 14th. BlackRock is the world's largest asset manager, with over $8 trillion in assets spanning all types of investment products. In Fink's view, cryptocurrencies have a differentiating value versus other asset classes in helping diversify portfolios. So it's international. It's so international, it's going to transcend any one currency, though, to the executive. I saw part of this interview. He said he has to not mention Bitcoin so much because he's under, you know, legal, you know, requirements not to because of the ETF. But he said generally, broadly, that crypto can do a lot. Despite Fink's pro-crypto remarks during the interview, he declined to comment on BlackRock's application for a spot Bitcoin exchange-traded fund in the United States, as the filing is still pending with the SEC. So, I mean, big bankers and Wall Street suits like Larry Fink, like Jamie Dimon at JP Morgan, they have been poo-pooing Bitcoin since its origin about 15 years ago. And now they're coming around. I mean, this is our chance to really, you know, accumulate crypto. I'm not saying this is financial advice, but just saying this is our chance to accumulate crypto and front run the institutions, the big banks, the big players, and accumulate what I can. So that brings us to another sponsor slash affiliate of this channel, iTrust Capital. Now, iTrust Capital is what I've moved my own retirement into. I just made the switch earlier this week, completed it. You can roll over your retirement plan. If you don't like what BlackRock's doing to your retirement in the stock market, you can move it over to iTrust and invest in cryptocurrency as well as gold and silver. So, iTrust has one of the most trusted and vetted cryptocurrencies. So none of those pump it up scams, none of those fishy NFT, rug pulls. Only the most trusted cryptocurrencies are available on iTrust. So, and building up your IRA in retirement, your funds in an IRA will also have a lot of tax benefits. So, consider that. Like every day I go in and I do a little trading with either Bitcoin or gold and silver or Ether, trying to build up my retirement. I look at the different like signals from Discord or what have you, all the great YouTubers who deal in cryptocurrency, and I'm building my portfolio bit by bit. So go ahead and click on the link in the description. You'll be supporting my channel and you'll be doing everything for yourself by switching to iTrust Capital. So let's see if I have any chats in Kick. Nothing there. Looks like nothing in Odyssey. And nothing in Rumble. So if you don't feel like chatting, you can also become a subscriber of my Rumble channel by clicking the subscribe button underneath the chat functions. Or you can also click on the join button and join my locals group and join my online conversation. So get into that here. Now let's point and laugh at Hollywood. From Zero Hedge, Paramount falls on Mission Impossible box office miss. Sound of Freedom outperforms. So this is a short article, so I'm just going to read the whole thing here. Thanks to Tyler Durden. Paramount shares fell 3% in pre-market trading in New York after Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 missed box office projections in its debut weekend across the USA and Canada, according to Bloomberg. Now, Mission Impossible has had a very good opening, but I think the production and marketing of the film was the costs there were so high that it's gonna take a big effort for the film to break even. Paramount and Skydance spent $290 million on the production of the action movie. However, since its release on July 12th, it has only grossed $80 million. Falling short of Paramount Pictures' production of $90 million. However, over the weekend, the film's earnings were $56.2 million, missing Box Office Pro's forecasted range of $61 million to $75 million in ticket sales from Friday to Sunday. Second on the box office list is the anti-child sex trafficking film Sound of Freedom. This film continues to shock the entertainment industry with how well it has done in 13 days since its release, with near-term projections to break the 100 million mark. So, Sound of Freedom was an independent movie. It has some decent star power with Jim Caviezel and Mira Sorvino. And I can't remember the name of the actor who plays Tim Ballard's boss at Homeland Security, but I recognize his face. Sound of Freedom was a very cost-conscious production. It didn't take a whole lot of money to make it, and now it's a profit. So many of these big budgeted, these Hollywood movies their budgets are just blowing up. They're out of control. Mission Impossible, like I said, $290 million production. Disney is going ham on its productions, and there's talks that like Disney has lost $900 million at the box office, lost that much money at the box office since I think last December. Moving on with the article here, the progressive mainstream media continues to bash the awareness of child sex trafficking labeling the movie a conspiracy theory. Perhaps the corporate press and their buddies at the big studios are pushing disinformation because the film by a small studio continues to outperform major films, such as Disney's latest Indiana Jones. And that was such a moment. That was such a zeitgeist moment. You know, the venerated Indiana Jones franchise just fell on its face because Disney took over the IP and under the Lucasfilm division, and Lucasfilm under Kathleen Kennedy is, I'm trying to think of a word without swearing, but that actually has enough oomph behind it. It's a viper's nest. It's like, they can't do anything right. So speaking of Disney, Bob Iger shifts from building an empire to a Disney yard sale. This is from Bloomberg. This is a few podcasts have talked about this article. Bob Iger, the CEO, built Disney into the world's most powerful entertainment company by acquiring Pixar, Marvel, and Lucasfilm, and also 20th Century Fox. Now he's looking to downsize. Yeah, what he did was he maxed out Disney's credit card. He spent all their money, and now they are like drowning in red ink. Iger put roughly a third of the company up for sale this week, declaring Disney's linear TV assets non-core. That includes TV networks like ABC, FX, and Freeform. He also said Disney is looking for a strategic partner for ESPN, though he's not willing to sell the whole thing, and the company's already looking to sell or restructure its TV and streaming business in India. So ESPN and the theme parks are Disney's two most reliable, biggest moneymakers. So it's not, you know, that explains why they don't want to like completely sell off ESPN, but they are so strapped for cash, it's bad. It's a stunning, if inevitable, turn of events. For an executive who spent so much of his career working in TV, and for a company that relied on cable networks for the majority of its profit. Before the pandemic, Disney's media networks generated 35%, or $24.8 billion, of the company's revenue, and more than 50%, or $7.5 billion, of its operating income. Yet the accelerating decline of cable TV has limited Iger's options. Though he solved his problem with Disney Plus and Hulu, his two mass market streaming services, but his streaming business is expected to register a loss of $800 million in the company's just ended third quarter. Yeah, I don't know about this paragraph because Disney Plus is a bomb. They were saying it would take until 2024 for Disney Plus to be profitable, but they just haven't put anything good on there other than their classic movies and TV shows. Like, I keep saying I'm going to ditch Disney Plus, but I got family members who are paying, I'm password sharing it with, so I get it for free, so I'm not giving any money to them. I'm gonna take advantage of their, you know, class stuff like DuckTales, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, Tailspin, the cartoons I watched as a kid and loved so much back when they actually had a head on their shoulders. Iger put up a for sale sign during an interview with CNBC in Sun Valley, Idaho, home to an annual summit of the media and tech elite organized by the investment bank Allen & Company. The conference has long served as an incubator for some of the media industry's most high-profile deals and a source of endless photos of executives walking in Patagonia vests. Ha! Yet Iger's CNBC interview was unmistakably a distress signal. Disney is contractually obligated to buy Comcast Corp's one-third stake in Hulu, and a deal that would value the business at least $27.5 billion. It's also wrestling with a colossal debt pile stemming from its $71.3 billion acquisition of 21st Century Fox in 2019. And that cost so much because Comcast ran things up in the bidding war. So that was such a huge mistake. Sure, they got all Fox's, you know, IPs, including The Simpsons, including Star Wars, including, you know, Avatar, whatever, but they haven't done anything with it since. It's sad. So much Bob Iger is your classic textbook Greek tragedy. He led his company to astounding heights and success. Such brilliant, young income and box office mojo. But hubris got the better of him. It all went to his head. And now things are collapsing under his leadership. You know, he thought he could, you know, stick Bob Chapek with the blame. Thought he could use Bob Chapek as a fall guy. But everyone sees now that Iger is just a, his head's up his own ass. He's an arrogant, schmoozing, smooth-talking snake. So it just sucks to see a company that we all used to love as kids. That was the standard of our entertainment. Just go nuts. But it's not just Disney. It's all of Hollywood. That's in trouble. So you've probably heard about the writer's strike. And now the Screen Actors Guild has joined them. Billionaire warns Hollywood faces absolute collapse if strike isn't resolved. This is from the Epoch Times. Article by Jack Phillips. A failure to resolve twin strikes of the writers and screen actors guilds could lead to devastating effects if no deal is reached soon, according to billionaire media mogul Barry Diller. On July 14th, a number of top movie and TV actors joined picket lines along screenwriters on the first full day of a walkout that has become Hollywood's biggest labor fight in decades. It's the first double-barreled strike by actors and screenwriters in more than 60 years. The two guilds have similar issues with studios and streaming services. They're concerned about contracts keeping up with inflation and about residual payments, which compensate creators and actors for the use of their material beyond the original airing on TV, such as in reruns or on streaming services. The unions also want to put up guardrails against the use of artificial intelligence mimicking their work on film and television. And we're going to talk about artificial intelligence a little later, but AI is scaring the hell out of establishment, you know, corporate entertainment, all the big name actors and the writers for TV shows and movies. Because it's going to show them what, it's going to show the world what hacks they are. You know, a few weeks ago, WDW Pro and his panel, they made up a Seinfeld script using ChatGPT, and I thought it was kind of dry, but it looked pretty, at least competent. But all the crap you see on streaming, like on Disney Plus, on Netflix, on Paramount Plus, whatever, it's been run to the ground by ESG and DEI imposed by the banks. And really, anyone with any talent can succeed far more independently. They can write their own material and put it on YouTube or put it on a podcast. They don't need to kiss the ring of some Hollywood producer or kiss the other parts of them, whatever. They can do it on their own. And that's leaving only the hacks and bootlickers in Hollywood. And they are just, you know, it's obvious how derelict they are. So, whatever you think about AI, I mean, with the rise of artificial intelligence, it's really going to show the world what it means to be human. So, we humans are really going to have to step up our authenticity and our skill in order to succeed in the tech world, really in the internet, in the information age. So I think we can do it. The people with integrity, we're going to be just fine. So if you like this content that I'm making here, like I said, give it a like on whatever platform you're watching it on, share it and subscribe and support the program by clicking on another couple of affiliate links here. These are two cryptocurrency exchanges that I'm having a lot of fun with. There's BitGet and there's BitFi. These are international cryptocurrency exchanges. They've got a whole lot of, you know, currencies available for trading here. What's really great about both of them is copy trading. If you don't feel confident that you can buy and sell at the right times yourself, or if you can't make, you know, competent trades, effective trades, you can just follow someone else. Click on copy trading and start following someone with a good, you know, record, and they'll make the trades for you. You put in an initial investment of a stable coin like Tether, and this is like one of the best, most effective methods of passive income I've found here. Like, in fact, I put in like maybe $400 worth of Tether in BitGet, and this hasn't replaced my income yet, but it's getting close. So really take advantage. Now, the thing about some cryptocurrency exchanges out there is they may not be available in every country. So I'm not saying to do this, but you know, there are ways of accessing, you know, content from other countries. Wink, wink. So go ahead and click on either of the links there. You'll be supporting this program, and you'll be doing yourself a favor too. So get on it. Replenish my vocal cords. And let's check chat here. Doesn't look like anything on Rumble or Odyssey. Let's see if I'm got anything on Kick. Kick takes a while to load the page here. So that's fine. Yeah, if you're watching on Kick, go ahead and you know, you don't have to, you know, leave me a tip, but if you want this content to grow, if you find it valuable, you know, it helps if you support it. But only if I earn your support. Like I'm not some e-beggar. Like I've got a job. I've got like half a dozen different jobs to support myself. I'm fine. But this is for the information war. All right. Back on the subject of AI. Oh, this watermelon head. Congressman says Americans could be the losers in the AI social experiment. Representative Adam Schiff, he's not a representative because he's a Democrat. He obviously was installed. Adam Schiff backs AI regulation and calls the entertainment industry the tip of the spear. I just think this is funny. I don't think there's a lot of meaning to this. I just think it's I think Adam Schiff knows people hate him, so he's just saying, okay, whatever. I'm just going to walk around with my dick out and say whatever. U.S. Congressman Adam Schiff joined the striking actors and writers of SAG-AFTRA on the picket lines today. That was July 17th, so yesterday. On the picket lines today and called for regulating artificial intelligence. Congress did a lousy job responding to the changes in social media. We need to do much better when it comes to AI, Schiff said, according to a Deadline report. Otherwise, this country is about to go through the most massive social experiment in which the American people may be the losers, and we need to make sure that's not going to be the case. So he is so butthurt that free speech is prevailing on Twitter and on all tech like Rumble, Truth Social, Odyssey. He wants, you know, the government to control AI. So, too bad, so sad. Adam Schiff, we all know, was one of the top voices saying that, oh, he has undeniable proof that Trump colluded with Russia, and he lied with such certitude. Like, he is a truly sick individual. Like, I'm not even sure God loves him. Seriously. People like this, they need to, I don't know. Continuing with AI here, Adobe urges lawmakers to penalize individuals who use AI to mimic other artists' styles. This is from nichegamer.com. This is from July 13th, which was about not quite a week ago. Dana Rao, the executive vice president of Adobe, spoke before a Senate Judiciary Committee on the topics of artificial intelligence and copyright law. Speaking to the committee, Mr. Rao urged that there should be legislation to penalize end users who intentionally try to recreate a specific artist's style or impersonate them. You can see his most relevant statement below, timestamp 25 minutes here. They've got the YouTube video here. Rao says, We believe artists should be protected against this type of economic harm, and we propose Congress to establish new federal anti-impersonation right that would give artists the right to enforce against someone intentionally attempting to impersonate their style or likeness. And this is what the Hollywood, you know, hacks are so afraid of. Holding people accountable who misuse AI tools is a solution we believe goes to the heart of some of the issues our customers have. And this new right would help address that concern. So I don't know if I read the whole article, but I'm going to say this. Anime and manga, as we know today, all the kids love anime. All the kids love manga. Like, manga is stomping a mud hole in the ass of American comics out of Marvel and DC. Manga wouldn't exist today if Osamu Tezuka wasn't trying to emulate Disney. Osamu Tezuka, they call him the god of manga, one of the founding fathers and huge influence on the rest of that country's, you know, art form. He was inspired by Disney. He was inspired by Western artists. So the idea that, you know, emulating another artist's style will lead to originality elsewhere just falls flat on its face. I mean, all the great artists got their start by emulating the styles of those who came before. And then they started adding their own touches and their own unique flares that only they could, you know, pull off. So the idea that wouldn't happen with AI either. I mean, these people are grandstanding. These people are trying to muddy the waters. And really, AI art and AI is one of the biggest, could be one of the biggest benefits to upstarts, to individual creators. It'll like decrease the workload of people who want to make their own comic books, their own illustrated, you know, novels or what have you. It can go a long way to helping individual indie independent developers make video games. Some people are using it to make music. I mean, without the need for a huge expensive studio or huge expensive, you know, corporate backlot, you know, lot on in Hollywood, individual creators around the world can use AI to create new entertainment. I'm working on a novel right now. Here and there when I find the inspiration and motivation and I'm not being hamstrung by my ADD, but it's going to deal with AI. It's going to deal with, you know, cryptocurrency. It's set in the future where robots do a lot of the work and free up humans to do all sorts of cool things. So the thing about AI to worry about is centralized control. Same with money. If all these big corporations and government organizations try to control AI and try to invest in just a handful of AI tools, I mean that's what we got to worry about. So it'd be better to make AI open source and make individual creators, enable them to have private ownership and things like that. There's actually a great video by the YouTube channel Generation Tech. They deal a lot with, they're a Star Wars fan channel, and they had a video maybe last year explaining why AI hasn't, you know, taken over the Star Wars universe. AI revolutions and overthrowing humanity, that's a very common theme in science fiction, like from Terminator, there's The Matrix, there's Westworld. There's even a chapter in Dune's lore about AI taking over and the ramifications of that. Why hasn't that happened in the Star Wars universe? Part of it is because droids, the robots there, they're privately owned by citizens. They also routinely wipe the droids' memories to keep them from getting like super intelligent. And the owners of droids are held legally responsible for their droids' actions. So that actually decentralizes a lot of the control over droids and makes them a lot more, you know, manageable by the organics, by the humans and alien species. So, and another thing that wasn't mentioned in the Generation Tech video, but could be a big, could be a big help is encryption. So get big on encryption. Try to spread awareness about that and try to keep, you know, AI under control, and then use it as the benefit it really is. It really ought to be. So one more article before we wrap up the tech portion of this program. And this is kind of what the corporations and the powers that be kind of have in mind with tech. Your LG TV and appliances are about to get more annoying. The Korean tech giant is transforming from a hardware-oriented business to a platform-based service model that continuously generates profits. That means advertisements and upselling owners on services and features. This is basically subscribing to your wash, to your dishwasher, to your washing machine, to your TV. We're seeing that with certain car manufacturers, like I think BMW is starting to do this. They're trying to like create like online subscriptions to like some of their services. So this is really the whole you'll own nothing and be happy thrust of the World Economic Forum and their willing disciples in big tech and government. LG Electronics is looking to squeeze some additional cash from its customers by going all in on advertising and subscription offerings for its home appliances and televisions. It's part of a plan to increase global annual revenue from the $51 billion reported last year to almost $79 billion by 2030. Part of that growth strategy is to get WebOS, the operating system running LG smart TVs, on some more external TV brands and other product groups. Now, when I first saw this article, I was kind of surprised. I always thought LG was a European brand. Maybe the Koreans bought it or something. But this is what's at stake here. It's either private owner. We've got private ownership and decentralization on one side, and we've got corporate, government, banker, finance control on the other. So this really is one of the themes of the struggle going forward. Are people? Can we trust people to manage and be responsible for their own lives and their own property and their own property rights? Or are we going to be peasants under the control of digital landlords? So there's that. One reason the powers of me are so powerful is because they control the stock. They control our stock in by way of our retirement plans. But that's why it's so important to take control. And this isn't a tech-based sponsor, but it's another way of taking back control of your money, and that's with gold. So I'm a supporter of, I'm an affiliate partner with Acre Gold. So it's a very easy way to buy physical gold, have it shipped to your location, and you can even become a subscriber. You can pay them $50 a month, and once you've paid enough for one of their gold bars, they will send it to you to your door or secured in one of their vaults. So one of the big problems with gold and silver is the paper market. Like certain exchanges say you're buying gold, but really you're just paying for contracts on paper or digital files. Like you don't actually have any gold. So they've been doing that to control the price of gold, make it seem like it's worth less than it really is. So while they're doing that, before the whole thing is exposed, you can start buying physical gold at fairly decent prices and actually build up your personal wealth and preserve it from inflation and the coming CBDC storm. So the fact that they're trying to roll out these CBDCs shows that the governments and the bankers and the whole financial system, they're getting a little scared of the power of the people, and they should be. We are learning more and more about how they operate. Larry Fink is backing off from the whole ESG and DEI terminology when it comes to managing corporations. So the more we learn, the more we take control of our own financial futures, the better. We are in a race between The Great Reset, and The Great Awakening. And I have a lot of faith in The Great Awakening. Like, we are going to a fearless tiger. So, time to check chats here. And like I said, if you don't feel like chatting, that's fine. I will leave these programs up on Rumble and Odyssey. I don't know if Kick keeps them up, but I will also upload this recording to this program to the to all the major podcast platforms. Gonna take a sip. We're at the home stretch, so we gotta talk about COVID, the vaccines, and a few other things here. I think the whole COVID, drama has really taught regular people not to trust anything the government says. So, a lot of us got worked up over the hype, over the doom and gloom, over the media. And now we're in the fool me twice, shame on us phase. So, and here's another tidbit. Here's another thing to add to that pile. Centers for Disease Control use journal to promote masks despite unreliable and unsupported data, according to new analysis. I'm not going to read this whole thing because it's full of numbers here. But a new analysis of studies in the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention's flagship scientific journal found the agency promoted the effectiveness of masks using unreliable data with conclusions unsupported by evidence. The preprint, published July 11th on MedRxiv, not sure I pronounced that, found the CDC's morbidity and mortality weekly report made positive findings about the efficacy of masks 75% of the time, despite only 30% of studies testing masks and less than 50% having statistically significant results. No studies were randomized, yet the CDC, in over half of their MMWR studies, made misleading statements indicating a causal relationship between mask wearing and a decrease of COVID-19 cases or transmission, despite failing to show evidence of mask effectiveness. So, CDC is another deep state tool, and we are on to them. This is really a lesson on how to get ruled. Abusers, anyone who's been in an abusive relationship with maybe their significant other or a family member or their employer, they might have been like, pressured. They might have been subjected to like scary language, been talked down to. They might have been, interrupted. They might have been blocked. Once someone does that to you, they lose the argument. Just think of it that way. You have permission. You are authorized to just go around them. Work behind their back. Don't do anything in good faith with them. So once they interrupt you, they lose the argument. That's one of my guiding principles from now on. And apparently, In-N-Out Burger has gotten a memo. In-N-Out Burger reportedly bans employees from wearing masks without a doctor's note. So, In-N-Out Burger is reportedly banning employees from sporting masks while on the clock unless they have a doctor's note. The changes are being sold with the intention to promote better communication between staff and supporters, The Street reported. Activist Dr. Lucky Chan says via Twitter that he obtained a corporate document announcing the policy. Chan described the new rule as discriminatory and encouraged the public to reach out to higher-ups at the fast food chain to address their concerns. A Lucky Tran. This guy sounds vaccinated. I mean, I'm vaccinated too, but I'm not boosted. Most of us who only took the first or second shot, we're gonna be fine. If you take the boosters, like, I think you're already too far gone for help. But there are methods found in nature, found in God's creation, like eggs, like fasting, that can restore your DNA through stem cells. Fasting for like 24 hours or 48 hours, that can actually kickstart your stem cells to start, regenerating your DNA. So if you're worried about that, there's a solution. Eggs can help, clear out the spike proteins and whatever. So If you have any vaccine regrets, just consider it lesson learned and know that there's a solution to any of your concerns. And another solution would be holding Anthony Fauci accountable for his crimes. We're going to get there eventually with military tribunals because we know we're not going to get anything done with the DOJ as it is. House Committee accuses Fauci and other health officials of unlawfully granting $26 million of taxpayer money. Alleges Fauci was never reappointed as NIH director. Video. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but we're just going to read the first few paragraphs. Investigation led by House Energy and Commerce Committee Chair Kathy McMorris-Rogers, Republican from Washington, uncovered a failure to properly reappoint 14 National Institutes of Health officials, including Dr. Anthony Fauci, as required by law. The investigation, which began March of 2022, has brought to light a series of concerning issues surrounding the reappointment process and has raised concerns about the validity of actions taken by these officials during their unauthorized tenure. Rogers revealed on Monday that 14 NIH employees, including former NIAID Director Fauci, were not lawfully reappointed to their positions in December of 2021, as required by law. We've uncovered that Secretary Becerra failed to follow the Constitution and the law to reappoint top NIH officials when the terms expired in December of 2021. As a result, 14 NIH officials held unlawful positions and exercised authority they didn't have. Guess what? They're not the only ones. I think the election steal on January 6, 2021, when Congress rubber-stamped Joe Biden's steal, that alerted me that none of them were elected either. I mean, how many politicians, how many officials, how many judges really shouldn't be politicians, judges, and officials? How many of them are illegitimate? We're gonna clean so much crap out of the system once we get Trump back in the White House. And he is so confident that he's gonna win, that he's gonna be victorious. It's like, I think that is a good sign. The people are on to them. So, and we're not just doing that in the White House. We're gonna do that around the world. This is the last story I've got up here. I think this is very telling. We will bring you down. German Minister of Member of Parliament vows to dismantle the World Health Organization's grip on governments. German MP Christine Anderson last week shredded the World Health Organization, calling it a group of globalitarian misanthropists who she and a group of seven other MPs have vowed to dismantle in order to oppose the WHO supplanting democratically elected governments. An unelected body, like who is controlled and run by multi-billionaires, should never be allowed to act in place of a democratically elected government, she said, during the Citizens Initiative conference in Brussels. Anderson says she'll expose and name any individuals, including government officials and parliamentarians, who support the WHO power grab and disrespect democracy. It is you, the WHO, that is the small fringe minority, she continued. You're the ones who do not have the right to dictate to the people what they want and what they don't want. So take it from me, take it from the millions and millions of people around the world. We will bring you down, and we will not tire until we have done just that. So brace yourselves. We are here, and the fight is on. So let's have the fight. So, and you can put, we want to play the video. It's 6 minutes long. I think it's good enough that we just read this. But like I said, there are white hats in every country. There are white hats in China. There are white hats in Russia. There are white hats in Germany, like this MP. There are white hats all around the world who are trying to bring down corruption. And I think they might be talking to the right for President Trump on how to do this. So be of good cheer. Like I said, they're the corrupt criminals around the world who are trying to be absolute misanthropes and reduce population. They're panicking. They're showing they're panicking by indicting Trump for the third or fourth time. They know their time's running out. So be of good cheer. And like I said, if they ever try to talk over you or interrupt you or try to censor you on social media, just know that they've lost the argument and you're authorized to work around them. So with that, we're going to check chat more time. This channel's growing. Maybe not to get enough live chats, but I'm confident I'll get there. And go ahead and take advantage of all the resources I have in the affiliate links in the description. I don't just choose these resources to support myself. I choose resources that I think will help you in these crazy economic times. So go ahead and take advantage. I also got good stuff on my website that I don't cover on the videos, like the whole Sound of Freedom drama. It's a black eye for Hollywood, the media, and the far left. I've got memes galore. So go ahead and join the fun. You can join my locals group and join the conversation for $5 a month. There's so much, good stuff going on online. So much good, so many good conversations that we really are turning the corner. So with that, I'll let you go. I'm a houseman letting you know it's okay to stand up for yourself. Over and out.